You are listening to Louise Holm, Lady of the Manor, by Veronica Armour, narrated by Katrin Walker Booth. Part 1. Stockholm, April, 1889. Her heart was pounding underneath the tightly laced corset as Louisa fixed her gaze on her father's colleagues. She caught glimpses of them between the swirling couples performing an energetic polka on the well-oiled oak floor. There were satin dresses in every colour, men in tailcoats and lieutenants in dark blue uniforms with golden ropes dangling from their chests. Louisa's friend, Stina, had not skimped on her coming-out party, and her father, who was a count, had booked the grandiose golden foyer in her honour. The ballroom was clad in glistening gold, with mirrors covering the walls from floor to ceiling and bohemian crystals glittering like stars in the overhead chandeliers. Louisa approached the men, each holding a glass of cognac in their hands. Her breaths were shallow from nervousness. Worry did not suit her, but the feeling was understandable. It had, after all, been 4 months since the last time she spoke with the ministers. She shook her head, as if doing so would make the unbecoming emotion go away. The key was to move with confidence. Her father always said, "Act like you own the room, and no one will dare question you." "Good day. Ministers Carlson, Nilsson, Perstorp, Hjorn." Louisa stepped into the cigar-scented circle, addressing each man with a nod. "How do you do?" she asked with a smile. The revered Minister of Commerce, Mr. Carlson, observed her intently with discerning eyes, as did the others, but that would not deter her. "The weather has been most pleasant today, has it not? I heard that April has not been this warm in years," she continued.
"The weather is like the weather is. Changeable," Mr. Carlson stated. "You must excuse us, Miss Broman, but we are in the middle of a conversation."
"I understand that you are in the middle of a conversation. You always are. But today I have a question which requires your attention." She sucked in a calming breath before forming the next sentence. "Is it true that you have yet to find a replacement for my father's post?"
"It is true. We have not. Not yet. But..."
the bald Mr. Perstorp began. "Excellent. When can I start?" Louisa interrupted, straightening her back. Mr. Carlson must have got something stuck in his throat, because he was overcome by a violent cough, whilst the others met each other's gazes in turn.
"What is the young lady talking about?" Mr. Perstorp wondered.
"I am, of course, speaking about my father's position as Minister of Finance. He wanted me to take over. It was his final wish before he passed, which is understandable, given that he has been training me my whole life for it. I helped him with last year's proposals, assisted him with other administrative tasks, and that is not all. I have hosted several successful dinner parties that have built strong relationships and that have been good for our country. So now I feel, after 4 months of grieving, I am ready to assume my position in the government." The men gawked at her, as if she was speaking another language. Filled with anticipation, she awaited their response, but when it came, it was not what she had expected. The laughs erupted from their chests, loud and disrespectful, one after another. Mr. Perstorp put a hand on his bubbling belly in an attempt to control his laughter, while Mr. Hearn's eyes shone with tears. Mr. Carlson was the first one to fall silent, and soon the others followed suit.
"A woman in government," he pondered with a smile. "Your father must have had far too much wine when he made that promise, for that will never happen. Over my dead body," he added fiercely. "Now, now, off you go, have a dance. Your father's ministerial post is nothing you need to concern yourself with."
"But you must have considered me a fitting candidate. This cannot come as a surprise," Louisa continued. Her heart was pounding harder than before. It roared like thunder on a stuffy summer night. "My father taught me all he knew." Mr. Carlson's eyebrows shot up.
"Clearly he did not, for if he had, he would have taught you to realise when to keep your mouth shut."
What was happening now?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?